traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt and Justin as always. And today we got a pretty interesting guest on here. And I say interesting because he has made something that I know for sure Matt Miller is a little bit on the fence about, because he hasn't watched any of the videos for some reason. But Matt Smith is a huge fan, and I'm very intrigued. But we got Mike Slinkard with us. I probably said that wrong, even though you told us 50 times how to say it. But Mike is the president and founder of Hex. And if any of you guys have ever seen this stuff, it's pretty amazing stuff from what I've seen. So, Mike, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're trucking along. We're trucking along. But
very good.
So I'm going to start this whole thing off on asking you, how did you come up with this idea? Because I think that's the biggest question everybody wants to know. And kind of tell us a little bit about what Hex is. I mean, it's not just clothes, obviously.
No, actually, it's not. It's a technology, actually. And it just happens to be incorporated into clothing. But so basically what it is, I'd probably start there. Basically we developed a clothing that has a conductive carbon fiber grid in it. And what it does is it blocks the body's electrical field. And I know a lot of people are going, oh my gosh, what's this about? And I did too when we first kind of stumbled upon it. But basically what happens is if you're living, if you've got a heartbeat or you're moving, your muscles move, anything like that, you're actually, the electricity it takes to fire those muscles is actually creating an electromagnetic field that goes out of our bodies. It's been known more recently as the biosignature. The military has apparatus that they can actually read biosignature, like a fingerprint, is at least up to 40 meters, and that's what's been declassified. So it's a real thing. We all put it out. And what's the important thing about it is that we know now that a lot of animals actually use that to for defense. So they can use it to tell what's living and what isn't. Animals like birds, we now know that canines and bears as well, actually see those fields visually. And so, you know, that's why those animals, particularly the birds and the canines, are super sensitive to movement, because if a movement has an electrical field, it's actually seen by those animals visually, and they know to pay attention to it. So, you know, turkey season's coming up. So one of the big things with Hex, and it's actually a game changer for turkeys, is you can actually get away with movement. And, you know, a lot of people just, it blows their mind, but it does do that quite effectively. So how I came up with it, and it's actually was a team effort, but it dates all the way back to about 2005, 2006. First off, my family were cattle ranchers. I grew up here in Eastern Oregon, not to be confused with Western Oregon, please. But, you know, they were cattle ranchers. My grandfather was a really, accomplished horse person, really understood horses and trained them well and all that. And so I grew up knowing that, and I was taught from a very young age that, you know, especially with horses, my grandpa used to say, man, a horse knows what you're thinking, whether you act like, you know, doesn't matter how you act on the outside, he knows what you're thinking. And you've got to stay calm, keep your heart rate down, all that kind of stuff. And that's going to keep those animals calmer. It's something that, you know, if you're around animals, it's a pretty well known, especially old timers really knew that and used that to their advantage. Well, what happens is when you keep your heart rate down, you're actually lowering your electrical, you know, your electrical output. When your heart rate goes up, it spikes those. So, you know, that's what allows animals to actually sense the excitement from, you know, from an inflated heart rate and that kind of thing. So that's kind of how it all started. You know, we really dug into it just on a kind of an accident. I happened to be filming a mule deer hunt in Wyoming, and I used to own Winner's Choice Bowstrings. I actually started that company back in 2000. Sold it in 2012, but I was filming for my company then, and was coming down on a big old mule deer in Wyoming. That's about 30 yards from me. I had probably a 20 mile an hour wind in my face. The deer was laying, looking the other way. I mean, there was, we had noise, we had everything. I mean, this deer should have been dead. And before I could get a shot at him, he actually jumped out of his bed. It was real steep, probably 10 feet straight down the hill. But the key was, is he wasn't looking at me. He was looking around. He knew something was there. He had no idea what. And he had no idea where. And we've been seeing that for years. You know, I mean, it's not something, I mean, an outdoorsman that's been out there have seen similar things. You know, a white-tailed guy, the deer will be walking along, and all of a sudden, for no reason at all, he just pins you in the tree. That kind of stuff. And what we've kind of dove in originally just on the internet, and then we started talking to actual experts, is, you know, we found that, you know, animals have the ability to navigate, and the internal compass is actually ran off the Earth's electromagnetic field. Well, that happens to be an extreme low frequency field, and it's about a 0.5 to 5 gigahertz type field radius. And kind of the aha moment was when we started down another rabbit hole of what people actually put out. Guess what? We also put out an extreme low frequency field, and they're very similar. So that was when we started connecting the dots, saying, okay, if they can sense it to navigate, why can't they sense it for anything else? And so we started developing ways to block it. Actually, there were some fabrics out there at the time that had stainless steel grids in them. They weren't exactly the right conductivity or exactly the right size, but they made a big difference. So we've seen enough positive that we went ahead and developed fabric that was specifically made to block what's coming out of us. And I guess, as they say, the rest is history. We've kind of course, that took several years, and we applied for patents. Finally, the patent started issuing in 2010, and we launched the company in 2010. So we've been around a while too. So anyway, that was a really long story. That was short version of a really, really long story.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, it's pretty interesting deal. So I'm guessing you guys make like you could just wear like an underlayer under anything that else that you have and it worked the same, or do you got to have like the whole, everything you got on, or how does that work?
Well, so you want to, the biggest thing is basically, for the most part, the larger the muscle, the more electrical energy it's going to create. The big exception is your heart. Your heart's a small muscle that creates a massive amount of electricity. So you want to have a shirt, a pant, and a head cover. That's our basic system. If you're bird hunting, the gloves are super important as well. But you want to cover as much of your actual body as you can. Now, it doesn't matter if it's under or over. You can wear it right underneath your regular hunting gear. You can wear it in any layer in between or over the top. The technology is the same. And how it works, it's actually got that electrically conductive carbon grid, and it's all interlocking. And if you go online, you can see that, you know, the examples of our fabric. We've got a ton of videos and everything like that as well. But that grid is specifically sized and shaped, and it has the right conductivity to the technical term is attenuate. It actually attenuates your electrical field. So what happens is, when the energy leaves your body and it hits that grid, it's kind of like the door on your microwave oven. That particular wavelength of energy can't pass through because of its size, and it's actually held in capacitance within the grid. When you touch ground, it grounds out. So it's really basic electronics. It's nothing magic about our electronic part of it. It's kind of called a Faraday cage, is how pretty much every electrical field is blocked. But yeah, so that's how it works. Like I say, it could be under or over. It doesn't really matter.
Matt, you need to be writing this down, buddy, because everything I'm hearing says this stuff works. So, like, you know, I was saying, my buddy Matt Miller over here, mm-hmm. You just didn't believe it.
I just don't know what to think about it.
And that, but you know, well, and now that you've broke it down, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes sense that if your body's putting something out and that stuff stops it, they won't see you anymore. I mean, it's.
But you're not invisible. That's one mistake that some people say. I said, "Man, I'm invisible to an animal." You're not invisible. They still see visually. Okay. But what it does is it takes the edge off of it, if you want to call it that. So when you take the electrical field away, like if you're looking at a white-tailed deer, for instance, the thing is going to see pretty much every time, as long as he's not, you know, you still got to keep the wind right and you still got to stay, you know, quiet and all that kind of thing. But when he notices you, you're going to find that they react much, much differently. I can't even tell you the last time I had a deer, a whitetail bob his head and stomp his feet and that kind of stuff. I couldn't even tell you the last time that is, but I can tell you that it happened with hats.
I can tell you the last time it happened to me about 4.5 months ago.
The last time he's in a tree?
Yeah, the last time I was deer hunting, so...
Yeah. Now, if they get your wind or something like that, that's a different deal. You know, it's, this isn't a scent control in any way. Right. But, you know, like I said, it's a big, big advantage. Some of the stuff that we hear from our customers all the time is squirrels don't bark at you anymore. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many times I've had squirrels.
Take my money right there. Take my money right there. If the squirrels stop barking at me, it's worth every penny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you last time I had a squirrel bark at me. And the thing is it's not just me. It's you know, we've been doing this since 2010. We do around 35 consumer shows a year. We've got a guy that's all he does is does, you know, consumer shows. I do a lot of them personally myself. And, you know, if you had a product that didn't work, I promise we wouldn't be doing those because they would be horrible.
That's what Matt Smith said. He's like, it's been around long enough that if it didn't work, it wouldn't still be here. People wouldn't be buying it.
And we grow every year. I mean, we're growing substantially every year. We have other parts of our company. We have the Hex Aquatic side, which if you've ever watched Shark Week, you've seen the Hex Scale Screen logo on little wetsuits that a lot of the shark scientists are using. You know, because again, the underwater species are even more prevalent to picking up electric fields than we are, you know, than terrestrial species. But we have that, you know, we actually, and a lot of people don't realize this, but we actually sell quite a bit of our hex underlayers to special forces. And it's hard to get exactly what they're doing with it. But I did get to have a real neat conversation with a retired SEAL last year at the NWTF show. And he actually said, you know, we wear it when we're going into situations where dogs are going to alert very quickly. And he said, we figure it's going to give us between 30 and 90 seconds more before a dog will alert. Well, you know, for those boys, 90 seconds is a long time.
Well, yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they can do a lot of work in 90 seconds.
You wouldn't want to be the bad guy and give those guys an extra 90 seconds.
No part of that.
That's what actually brought the hex conversation, I guess, to the table is we saw you guys set up at the NWTF this year when we were walking around. And
I
guess we should have stopped and talked to you a little then, but I was just like, yeah, let's just keep walking. I don't know about all that.
Well, I watched me and Matt Smith have all watched the videos. And I think one of the most impressive ones was that there was a bobcat video, and these guys were hunting, and I mean, the thing walked right over his boots. And like you said, it doesn't make you invisible. Now, these guys weren't moving around and all that, but something that close, it gets that close to you, it should see you.
It definitely seen him, but, you know, you could actually almost see the confusion on the cat's face. That particular piece of video was sent in by some customers over in Idaho, and you know, there's a cat season in this part of the country, so it wasn't season for them to shoot it, which I'm glad because the video was insane. I mean, that one went viral. It was seen by millions of different people, but it's a great example, and it's one that a lot of people have seen. But you can tell the main thing is how the cat leaves. You know, I mean, I've hunted predators here in the West forever, and I've had bobcats that close before, but you don't move, and they don't stay there very long. You know, when they're leaving, they're gone, you know.
Right.
And he literally walked away and went out and sat about 30 yards from him. They finally had to get up and walk off. You know, the cat never did. He didn't know what he's looking at. So we see that all the time. So, you know, you guys being at the NWTF show, that was our eighth time at the NWTF show. So I probably sold between 3,000 and 4,000 suits at that show over the years. So you can imagine if we had something that didn't work, what that show would be like. And I always attend it in person, that particular one. It's always a great show for us. So I promise I wouldn't be doing them. Didn't work.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
So now what
I wouldn't, I wouldn't want to put up with the grief from the customers. I mean, if I sold them something that didn't work, man, I mean, you can imagine.
Oh yeah. With thousands of suits out there, could you imagine the phone calls and it didn't work?
And not to mention, in today's world with social media, they're gonna ring out on there if this thing doesn't work. You know, you're not going to get away with it like back in the day.
So now what is what is like the longevity, like the effectiveness of this as the
So we tell people average is about 5 years with average use. Now, I've got some original suits from 2010 that are still completely working fine. But, you know, what happens is over time and with washing and use, that carbon fiber is, it's pretty durable. But eventually, just from being, you know, twisted and turned and folded and that kind of stuff, eventually that's going to become non-conductive. And so when you get, a certain amount of it non-conductive, then you quit seeing the benefit as much. And, you know, I have a standing offer. I always test suits. If somebody thinks that they think their hex suit isn't working, I test them all personally. You know, we've got our meter, the same meter actually that you saw at NWTF, if you saw the booth, that actually measured your electrical bill. We measure them all on that, and then I'll also measure them for straight up conductivity as well. So we got two different tests that we do to confirm that everything's working. They but have to pass them both. You know, like I said, average is about 5 years, 6 years. It really kind of depends on how you take care of it.
Well, that's anything you get.
Right.
You know, you buy cheap camouflage, if you leave it outside or wash it too much, it washes off. So.
Sure.
But, it's definitely got my attention here. Because I especially with turkeys, I need all the help we can get.
I mean.
Because they have just.
We may have to switch over to tame birds. That's how bad it is.
If it gets any worse here, that'll be what'll have to happen.
Well, the one thing that I can tell you without reservation is, you know, turkeys are probably the one species that you'll see more benefit than anything else, and it's because that you can actually move. And what I tell most people, you know, if they're a little hesitant or, you know, I've had guys from, you know, down Mississippi or Alabama. Well, you can't do that with the birds where I live. Well, yeah, you can. We've done it with every species everywhere. My daughter actually killed the number two Osceola turkey ever taken by a woman sitting on a chair in the open in about inch high grass. And the bird came out across. She drew before he even got to the decoys and she pounded him. She drew while the turkey's looking at him. And all of that stuff's on our YouTube page on Hex Stealth Screen on YouTube. So there's tons of video on there that shows it working over and over. And, you know, like I said, I probably shot 40 turkeys with a bow. I've shot two with a gun because I had shoulder surgery 1 year, but that's the only turkeys I've ever shot taken with a gun. But I purposely wait now until I don't even draw unless I know I can see their head and they can see me. And it's 100%. I mean, it really is. And so it is the biggest game changer that a turkey hunter can have as far as getting away with movement. You can't jump up and down and do jumping jacks, but like raising your gun, drawing a bow, turning your head, all that kind of stuff, all day.
Just
day.
A nice slow movement.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. You know. Like I said, we've actually gotten away with some fairly fast movement, but you know, like I tell everybody, go out if you're a shotgun hunter, sit down, call the bird in, leave your gun sitting on your lap. Don't have it up aiming at the bird before you see him or anything like that, because you'll get away with that 100% of the time. 100%. And I haven't had one single person come back and tell me that doesn't work. So, and then you can push, you know, beyond that. But that's 100% every time.
Well, I can tell you right now, the stuff I wear, you're going to get away with that 0% of the time. I mean,
if you're not blocking your electrical field, exactly. Because, I mean, even on a windy day, there, you know, you'll have branches and, you know, weeds and stuff blowing everywhere. But you bat an eye and that turkey's going to nail you. And sometimes you'll nail you without even moving. So it's a major, major difference in turkeys. It really is.
Have you heard?
I think I've even seen.
Go ahead.
Josh. Seen John Dudley on TV. I think he was elk hunting or deer hunting. He had deer walk up to him and shot it with wearing a hex suit.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I did a podcast with John a little bit earlier today, believe it or not. But John's been using it forever. Actually, when I had Winner's Choice bowstrings back in the day, John was actually my manager for foreign accounts. So he managed all the overseas accounts for us. So I've known John forever and I shot with him. You know, I used to shoot professional archery as well back in the day. And you know, I just knew John for a long time. John actually had our original prototype when it was white. That's how long John's been wearing hats. All the time he was with Under Armour, he wasn't able to talk about it due to his contract with Under Armour. But one of the things that he stipulated when he went to Sitka is that, hey, I want to be able to talk about hacks, and they went ahead and let him do that. So, but yeah, Dudley's a huge believer, and actually one of the, he kind of helped us develop it in a lot of ways too. So, yeah.
So what is your number one seller on the hunting side of hex, like package or whatever that you guys offer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, over time, our number one would be our what we call our lightweight suit, our basic lightweight suit. And, you know, that consists of a shirt, a pant, and a head cover that's super lightweight, almost mesh. The pants are fairly loose fit, kind of like a sweatpant, so you can wear them under or over. And the shirt's just cut like a t-shirt with got a breast pocket on it. And, of course, the head cover's got a nice drawstring and everything, so you can keep it where you need it. That's probably been our number one seller over the years. But some of the new products that we have are going to eclipse that. We came out with what we call our hooded shirt this year. It's like a hoodie, but it has an integrated face mask that you keep down around your neck whenever you want to use it. You can easily pull it up and down, so it's super convenient. We have sold a ton of those. You know, it's just one that's it's just super nice to wear and everything. All of our shirts have thumb holes in, so they're extra long length. You can use the thumb hole to help cover some of your hand, or, you know, if you're turkey hunting, I really recommend gloves, because that's the one thing that with birds are so sensitive to it, that the gloves make a lot of difference. But you know, and then of course you can match it with any pant. So one of the things that we did different than we used to sell everything as a set. Now we sell them so you can mix and match. So you could like get a hooded shirt and, for instance, a base layer pant, and you could wear it under regular clothing, or you could wear a mesh pant with it or whatever. So it's really a mix and match kind of deal now. You know, because as long as your body's being covered by hex, it really doesn't matter. All the fabrics work exactly the same way. So so we got a lot of different options now.
Now Mike, I got a question. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking at the Hex Hunting website, mm-hmm. and on the thing it says Hex Hunting Season. You got bear hunting, deer hunting, elk hunting, and turkey, and waterfowl. Mm-hmm. Now, is each one of those a different weight in the suits for the temperatures?
It's not. Those are just, and we're getting ready to redo our website again, but those are just more just examples of you know, hex in use with those different species.
Okay.
So there's really no difference between, as long as you're talking a terrestrial and not an underwater, there's really no difference that any of our hex products are going to work the same way. You know, a lot of it, you know, our base layer is a little bit heavier. It's a really high performance base layer that wicks moisture well. The shirt has a quarter zip hemline, so it's got a zip down front, you know, quarter down. The pants are like a regular long john type, you know, tighter fit type pants. So, like I said, you know, the hex technology is in all of it, and we just kind of tailor that to where you can get the item that's going to work best, you know, if you're hunting, you know, whether it's hot or cold or you know, whatever kind of style you're trying to get at, you know.
Mike, so what's the best way to take care of, like, as far as cleaning this goes? Is there a special way to do it, a special, you know?
No, not really. You just machine wash, just like you would your other hunting clothes. I just throw it right in with my other hunting clothes. Use regular detergents, that kind of thing. It'll last a little longer if you hang dry, and especially our lightweight one will be dry in 5 minutes. It's that light. But you can dry it in a dryer as well. It's just not going to last quite as long. The only thing that people need to be aware of with hex is the ozone dry wash systems. You know, Scent Crusher is probably the most famous. There are several others that are actually pumping raw ozone. You know, you put them in a bag and it pumps raw ozone through the fabric. Well, ozone is absolutely devastating to carbon. So you don't want to do that. You know, that will eat the carbon grid up quite quickly. So, and you know, when you buy that, you'll actually get a little label in there that tells you all about that too. But outside of that, you just take care of it like any other piece of clothing and wear it and have fun with it.
If you just, all you got to do to convince me is tell me that snakes can't see it, and I'm sold.
You know, I hate snakes.
Oh.
I'm not the guy that's going to go out and play with one.
Right.
Now, we have some guys, and actually there's some stuff on Hex Wildlife side There's a guy in Australia that's, I mean, he's all about snakes and stuff, and he swears they're less aggressive. Now, I don't have any personal anything with that, because if I see a snake and I can, it loses its head quite quickly. So yeah. That's how I do it.
I've never gotten close enough to a snake to really let it get that aggressive with me. Matt knows, I'll burn the house down.
Yeah, fight or flight. He's all flight.
Yeah,
well, I'm with you, pretty much.
People will ask me, said, what do you do if a snake gets in this boat? I said, you'll see me walk on water to get to dry land. I'm with you,
brother. I don't like snakes either. But, like I said, we've got guys that say that they feel that they're less aggressive and that kind of thing. I don't have any full testing on that I could really say that for sure. But it's just kind of anecdotal from the guys who do like to play with them. So.
And then I seen a little bit of waterfowl. Justin was talking about the waterfowl thing, and I'm a huge waterfowl mm-hmm. hunter. Mm-hmm. And
waterfowl are exactly like turkeys. All birds see that way.
Right.
So with waterfowlers, the biggest problem that we have with our waterfowl crowd is getting everybody in the group to wear it. Because a lot of times, you're going out with 8 or 10 guys.
Right. It's not going to work unless everybody's got it on. That makes perfect sense.
Exactly. I mean, but I can tell you, if you are wearing it, and we've done some, I'm not a huge waterfowl guy myself, but I have done some, especially goose hunting, and we've done that without the blind, all that. One of the videos that we show at the show, and it's actually online, when we were testing with waterfowl, I hired some guys out of Western Oregon. We were between, over in the Willamette Valley, and it was the last week of season. So they'd been hunted for 2.5 months. I didn't know these guys at all. I just kind of got their name, and I called the guy and I said, look, here, I want to hunt geese, but I don't want to use your layout blind. And he kind of stopped and he goes, what? And I said, I'll pay you no matter what, but I don't want to use layout blind. And he said, well, you're not going to shoot any geese. We've been shooting these things for 2.5 months. And, it's like, well, look, and I kind of explained what I have going on. He says, all right, you can try it. We'll bring a layout blind in case you want to shoot some geese. That's pretty much close. So we get over there, and it was my daughter and my dad and two guides. And we put everybody in hats, of course. And you can't shoot there until 8 o'clock in the morning. It starts to get light about 7:30. So, we go out and we set the decoys up and all that kind of thing. And I'm still standing up when the first flock of geese came in, and they fly around over our heads, and 6 of them actually lit within 20 yards of us, and the rest of them lit out about 50. I'm standing up. So anyway, I decided, well, and I went ahead and sat down, and I just told my camera guy, I said, turn the camera on. I'm going to try something. I have no idea. And so I have 6 geese in the set. I start crawling out towards the geese, and I keep crawling and I keep crawling, and pretty quick I'm within 3 feet of a goose, and he finally starts walking away real slow and looking at me like he didn't know what to do. I got almost close enough to grab him, and I'm actually thinking, man, this is probably going to be viral, because I don't know if a goose kicks my ass, I don't know what I'm going to do. But,
because he'd definitely do that too.
But it'd be good TV. That's right.
It would, And so I'm a good squirrel. But I couldn't quite touch it. But I mean, I was within 2 or 3 feet of the goose when they finally flew. And there was 6 total in the footage. You'll actually see 3 because they were kind of spread out throughout the spread, but there was 3. I was probably, like I said, 2 or 3 feet from one and within 8 feet of the other two before they flew. So then we went back. It got turned 8 o'clock. We shot our limit in, I don't know, probably an hour maybe. And I just sat out in the open the whole time. And the cool thing about it is even the guys that were using the blinds, because my dad and my daughter, they still use the layout blind. But, when the geese would come in and we would open, they'd open the blinds and we'd all throw our guns up until the first shot went off. They were locked straight at us. They wouldn't flare or anything else. So that's the biggest thing with that. You can shoot everything in the face, at least the first shot. Of course, once you start shooting, it's all,
Right. They figure it out after that.
Oh, sure.
Right. But, so he's guaranteed at least one shot. Now it's up to you on to make that count.
Yeah, exactly. But they just don't flare. That's the thing. They don't flare from your movement, because just like a turkey, they aren't going to see that movement as living.
Yeah.
Since then, I've went on several others and without any blinds at all, and we've shot several limits doing that. you know, and then we've got several other pieces of video that's on YouTube and also coming up on our show. We do the hunting effect show on the Pursuit channel as well. So, but, yeah, it's a neat, it's been a really fun project. It really has, kind of fun being the craziest people in the room. And 10 years later, it's like, oh, okay, this stuff actually does work.
Yeah, this stuff is working. Like,
so
yeah. I think it's a cool idea.
Well, what I like about it is it's not like a whole suit. I guess it's not like you got to buy this big old bulky. I mean, it's just an underlayer. You just wear it under. You can wear whatever you want. If you like Realtree, whatever, you can wear that. You wear whatever you want. You don't have, but it just goes right underneath there. I think that's what absolutely. I like, and I think that's a big selling point. Because there's a lot of people that like certain camouflages better than others or whatnot.
Right, certain patterns or whatever.
Well, with Hex, you can wear whatever the heck you want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's what I really like about it.
Especially our lightweight suit. We designed that was our first one we ever designed, and we had that specifically in mind. We wanted to make it so lightweight and so easy to use and so comfortable that there wasn't be a downside to wearing it. And you could put over, you know, you could put whatever camo you wanted on it, you know, whatever you wanted to do. And so that, particularly that lightweight suit is still really good for that. I mean, it's really versatile. You can use it really, whether it's cold, hot, it don't really matter. You can get that advantage.
Which I say whatever came, now Hex has got a pretty cool camouflage pattern on it too. It's not like you can't wear it out there and stuff. Not, it would work pretty good, but I know some people, you know, if you've invested a lot of money in certain clothing and you're like, well, now that's not going to, well, no, you can still wear that stuff.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, it's, we came out with our own camo pattern, last year. We call it Buck Style. Before that we were licensing with Realtree and Mossy Oak. But, you know, the thing is the for us, the actual visual camo pattern, while it still does what a camo pattern does. It's less important to us than actual technology, you know. So it really doesn't matter. You know, you can wear it if you like it. If not, cover it up with something else. It's still going to get the benefit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm sold on it. Especially for the turkey deal. Like deer, especially hunting out of tree stands, like you can get away with just a little bit. But like you said, boy, if they ever do look up at you, then they've got you. So, you know.
Well, I remember watching, I guess it was on the Pursuit channel, wasn't too long ago. You guys, I think we're in Kansas, and I'm probably wrong where you guys are at, but you had an 8-point or a 9-point or something come up within like 10 feet of the blind and just didn't even know you guys were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've had them, you know, stick their heads in the blind with us, you know, sometimes. And of course, sometimes the scent kind of deal kind of messes you on that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I can tell you what people, and this is what I personally believe, but what our customers predominantly say is, you know, once you see it and see how it works, because there's no downside to it, there really isn't, you know, they wear it all the time. And I got a lot of people that, you know, people that will say, you know, if you're going hunting with me, you're going to wear Hex, you aren't going. I mean, I've heard that thousands of times too from people. So, you know, like I said, it's one of those things that, you know, I understand Sam, why people could be skeptical because it is something that's sort of new, but, by and large, once you use it and give it a good chance, you're going to notice the difference and it's going to be worth it for you. Cause there's really not a downside. You know, really.
Yeah. I think anything new or something that people just can't, that's easy to explain or people just don't understand that they get, you know, they just get gun shy of it. And it's like you said, if you just try something out, then you'll realize, well, it's kind of, okay, so we'll put it in a fishing perspective. If somebody told you 10 years ago, Matt, that you can take a planer board made for trolling for walleye, tie it on the end of your line and go catch 500 spoonbill a year, you'd have told them that's crazy.
Absolutely.
Now, Dipsy divers have become, I don't even know if they sell them for walleye fishing anymore. I think it's all just for snagging.
We got them all bought up.
Because that's what we do now. We realize, hey, you can control the depth of your line and catch these fish, and this thing's not even made for that. But if somebody would have never tried it, you'd never know that. And you know, like you said with Hex, you just got to give it a chance. And it's not, you guys, it's not stupid crazy. It's not bad expensive.
It's really not. It may sound crazy to somebody until they actually understand it.
Right.
But I mean, it's all science. It really is. It's all backed by science, and some of the science is fairly new. But again, the study of how animals navigate is really what led to it. And like I said, what we put out as human beings is very similar to what the Earth puts out in the electromagnetic field that they know they're using to navigate. So, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, if they can navigate with something, I mean, if you have the ability to see red light and, I don't know if that's a good example or not, but say if you have the ability to see red light but not blue light, let me rephrase that. So red light means danger to you and you're using it because it's, says stop. All right. But also red lights mean, something else. Maybe red light means, there's food over here or something like that. You're going to use that same sense to not just for one thing. I mean, if you can sense it, you're going to use it for anything that can make an advantage. And, you know, nature's pretty good at making things survive, and that's kind of how that all came out. So, it's proven. It's really well proven. It's not crazy, and it's really easy to use. And so, I had to get thick skin for a while, but it's been around long enough now that it's getting really easy.
Well, and that's what we all said. Like we said earlier, if it didn't work, it wouldn't still be here. Not in today's world.
We dang sure wouldn't be doing shows where we're talking to customers, I can tell you that.
Right. Right. And like I said, in today's world, you about can't get away with a scam anymore because of the social media platforms. And
you might for a while, but you're not going to do it for very long.
Right. And it's just like everybody on YouTube now has a channel testing stuff out to try to prove that it doesn't work, you know, and I've never seen Hex on one of those things yet. Now there's been a lot of broadheads that get run through the ringer and arrows and bows and this, that, and another. Yeah. But that, that's one thing that it has to work because it's still
skepticism
going.
Skepticism is human nature, and it's something, I mean, you know, there was a time in the world that everybody believed the world was flat, and if you said it was round, you were the craziest guy in the world.
Yep. And then somebody up there with a rocket and figured out it was round, and here we are.
So, you know, it's like I said, it's okay to be skeptical. It really is. And I guarantee I was the biggest skeptic for probably 2 or 3 years. I mean, I got hit in the face with this so many times that it was undeniable, but it's felt like, God, I know, are we really seeing what we think we're seeing kind of thing? And it's just, it's like I said, it's undeniable once you do it. It just is. So.
Yeah, so you said something about you got something for water too, because we kind of talked about it just for a second, like the Shark Week thing. And I know sharks are like, that's how they see stuff is with the electric. That's how that's like an injured fish. They can feel that. They don't necessarily see it. They feel it.
Yeah, so a shark's got an actual organ. It's very well understood. It's called an ampullae of Lorenzini. And it's basically a series of dots on the front of their nose that's filled with with electrically conducted gel kind of stuff. And they are the most sensitive to electrical fields of anything in the world. As a matter of fact, when we were testing our aquatic fabric for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, we actually had an Arabian cat shark here in Eastern Oregon, and we're a long way from the ocean. But we actually were able to get a live capture wild Arabian cat shark shipped here, and he was alive, which surprised the heck out of me. Anyway, we had him in a tank here, and the reason we had it is because they have the most sensitive electrical field sensors in the water that there is, and cat sharks in particular were one that there had been a lot of study on. The cat shark can actually sense its living beings under sand as much as 6 or 8 inches. And so, and they would dig down and they'd eat them. And then they knew that they were using electric fields to find them. So there was a big study out of the University of Florida, and actually there's one in England as well, it was all about the cat shark. So when we wanted to study that, we wanted that exact species because there was a lot of research on, how they work. And we actually, with that shark, we put it in a tank. And originally it was very difficult to feed it. You feed it little, they call them silver sides. They're those little bait fish, I guess. And, you know, he would eat if you basically stuck it in his mouth. If you just threw it in the water, he would eat it. And so what we did is we devised a probe that went in the water, and basically what it did, it had two dipoles, and it used the conductivity of seawater as the bridge between the two, so that we had a very small electrical field that was just going between the two dipoles. And we put it at a 5.5 microamp, which happens to be the electrical output of the human heart. So, interestingly enough, when we started put the probe in, number one, when you got it close to his antelope, he would react immediately, and he would react pretty aggressively to it. And it got to be where that's how we got him to eat, was we would actually put the silver sides on the probe, and then he would actively hunt them. I mean, he'd grab the probe and grab the, you know, all that stuff. And then when we were developing the fabric to block underwater, because it's very different, we actually used that shark to tell, you know, when we were getting close. And finally, by the time we got our aquatic fabric fully developed, you know, the shark would completely ignore it if you had it, probe covered with the fabric. So basically, the biggest difference is that fabric is a much tighter grid, and it's about 8 times more conductive. It has to be more conductive than the seawater around it to work. Mm-hmm. So same principle. It just has to be a lot different grid because of the medium that you're in. So yeah. And so all of the hex wetsuits actually have that material bonded to the neoprene. So it's blocking those fields, and it makes a big difference in the water. I'm not a diver personally, but the guys that do it, man, they're over the top. Interestingly enough, when we brought hex out, every scientist in the world would have told you that lobsters do not have electrical reception. And now they 100% have electrical reception. And the reason they did is that the guys in our hex wetsuit were actually the lobster divers that dive down and get the lobsters off the seafloor. Usually it's quite a challenge because they're really fast and they're trying to get away. Those guys were just going down and grabbing them, and they weren't even trying to get away from them any longer. So that's how they discovered that they had electrical reception. So interesting side note.
Well, I mean, anybody that's listening, if you're a
diver,
a spear fisherman or anything like that, mm-hmm. not only might it keep you from getting bit by a shark, but if you're hunting stuff that, if you're a lobster diver, I mean, there you go. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I would wear it just to keep stuff from biting me. So,
yeah, it's like I said, the wetsuit side, we actually had a licensee that was running the wetsuit side for us, and that relationship kind of deteriorated. So we ended that, and we're right now in the process of relaunching our wetsuit. So I'm actually talking about something that isn't available right now today, but hopefully by the end of the year, we'll actually have those back on the market. It's been a challenge with the supply crisis and all that in the world, but you know, that's affected everybody. It's got us a good 2 years behind on that project. But anyway, those will be back on the market before too long. And you know, there's still quite a few out there as well. A lot of people had them from our licensee, so that's all coming back in. And of course there's still, to this day, shark scientists that wear them, you know, on Shark Week and all those kind of places as well. So yeah. Like I said, I'm not really an ocean guy myself personally. My passion isn't hunting, but it's kind of cool to see your technology being used in other places.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't care if somebody else goes down there and swims with the sharks.
I'm not gonna,
it's just like the guys that like catching snakes. I'll watch it on TV. But I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, me too. Like I said, I'm not a water guy myself. I swim about like a rock does. So, but for the people that have done it, I mean, it's they just love it as well. So it's cool to be passionate about hunting, and that, which is me, hunting and shooting has been my life, but you know, to have something that you developed as a hunting product that actually has really more use in other places, honestly. It's a kind of a cool feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
So now, have you got anything new coming out?
Well, the hooded shirt's our newest thing that we had. We are working on some more outerwear pieces as well. And I'm kind of hopeful that we'll see some of those coming out by fall. Again, the supply chain crisis has gotten things pretty backwards, and it still kind of is. But, you know, that's something we're hoping to have a little more outerwear stuff coming out. Hopefully by fall. If not, it'll be winter or 2023 for sure. We'll have some more outerwear stuff out. So, just trying to, make more convenient ways for people to get their advantage.
You got me convinced. I just got to get my partner in contact.
We need all the advantage we can get here in the Ozarks.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, with the turkey hunting, that's our main thing.
They're tough.
So anything I can do to help that, I'm all in. So,
yeah. Well, I the hex won't help you call them in or any of that stuff.
Doesn't make you shoot any straighter. You're gonna have
don't
to
make you
that
shoot
out
any better. None of that. But it will help you get away. You won't get busted as much if you're sitting still or moving. So, that's where it's such a big advantage. It's just the birds are much easier to kill when you get them in. Yeah. So that's really the biggest advantage of hex.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I mean, I really appreciate you coming on here and taking the time to talk to us. I think you kind of cleared some things up for some of us. I mean, some of us were already convinced, but you might have transferred one from the dark side, if you know what I mean here. He's got that look in his eye like he might actually sniff around and try it.
Well, I hope so, because like I said, I'm pretty confident that you're going to be pretty impressed when you do. Like I said, it's not magic. You still got to hunt, and I'm not going to say you're never going to get busted, because that's insane. It's like anything else. There's nothing in the woods that I've ever found that's 100% all the time. But I will tell you that especially on your turkey hunt, you're going to be able to get away with slow movement. I can tell you that. I've seen it so many times, and really I've never really had a customer that ever argued the point. So. I think you're gonna be impressed, and hopefully the people that hear this will as well. I'm also gonna throw you guys a little bone if you like. So because I appreciate you guys having me on here too. So for anybody listening, if you want to get a discount, I'll give you a promo code. It's called use Hextech, HECSTECH, and that'll get you the best discount that we're offering right now. So. If you need a little extra incentive, there you go.
Hey, I didn't, but it will work. I'll take it.
Yeah. It's a great advantage, and I know you're going to like it. So,
well, Mike, like I said, I appreciate you coming on here talking with us. We'll be sure to anybody listening. We'll share what we can share on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff of Mike's stuff. You can check him out. What's your website, Mike?
Yep. So it's HECS. It's not HEX. HECS, HexLLC.com is our main site, or HexHunting.com. That'll get you right straight to the hunting site.
There you go, guys. Go on there, check it out. Like you said, he's got hundreds of videos on YouTube if you want to watch. I've watched a few of them. Kind of help you maybe build your confidence up some more on it, too. Check it out. It's an awesome deal, and we'll be sure to share away and do our part in trying to get the word out there for you. So,
well, guys, I really appreciate it. And again, it's Hextech, HECSTECH. I'll get you a good deal. And like I said, it's something that, anybody that knows me, I've made my living in this industry for a long time, and I don't sell gimmicks. if any of you bow hunters out there, if you remember what Winner's Choice strings were back prior to 2012, that was us too. So, I pride myself on making stuff that works, and I have for a long time. I'm pretty proud of my reputation. So, try it. You'll like it. If you don't, tell me. I'm pretty sure you're going to have a real good experience.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on. I think we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back and end the show. But if you guys have any questions, get a hold of us, and we'll do what we can to get you in touch with Mike, or whatever we got to do to get you in the hex suit. Right, Matt?
That's right.
I think he's good. I think we've got him convinced. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for coming on with us, man.
All right. You guys take care. Appreciate
you have a good night.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Hi, folks. This is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast.
Hunting with my family, who could ask for more?
All right, guys, welcome back. First thing I want to do is thank Mike for coming on. The Hex thing, guys, make sure to check it out. It sounds like it's a pretty cool deal.
Sounds legit to me.
It sounds legit. Now, this is coming from a guy who had no faith at all in this. And now he's whipped his checkbook out. He's going to buy us all a Hex suit.
He is a firm believer.
If I say it, it'll come true. If you believe it, it'll happen. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. All right. So in other news, me, Matt, and Hampton went out last Saturday.
Saturday.
The first Saturday of the snagging spoonbill season here in Missouri. And it was a heck of a day.
It was fire.
We filmed it, so we'll hopefully have some video of it up here. But it was a very interesting day. It was a lot of fun. We caught a ton of, I think we boated 15 spoonbill that day.
I think we hooked 17 fish.
Yeah.
We had a couple get off.
Yeah.
And we caught 15, we boated what they call boated 15 fish. And we ended up with six fish, which is, you know, all three of us is limit.
Right. And I caught a tagged fish.
Which was pretty cool.
Yep. I'm
it was an awesome day.
It was fun. Hampton got the reel in a few.
I know Matt Smith doesn't have a radio, but or microphone. But Matt, who do you think caught the biggest fish? If you had to guess, out of everybody in a boat, and you were guessing, who do you think caught the biggest fish?
Just a
are we still on this? Wait,
who do you think caught the second biggest fish?
It was the luck of the draw.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to tell you what they did to me. They took me to the kiddie pool and said, here, start jerking.
It just happened to work out that
it really did.
We're like, well, we'll let him catch his limit first.
Right. Because he'd never caught one before.
Right. So he catches the two that were, we had to whip a tape measure out on both of them. And
yeah. Then you decide, well, let's go here with the big boys and see what we can get.
It's Matt's turn. And of course, first fish he hooks, 62 pounds. Just a toad. And I'm like, dang.
I think it was 63. But yeah, anyways.
We trolled down through there, and I caught one that was probably 45, 50 pounds.
Yeah, good fish.
And then Matt caught his second fish, and we didn't even weigh it. I'm not too sure it wasn't 65 plus. And then I caught my third fish, and it was probably a 35-pound fish, but it was tagged.
Right,
so yeah. Justin just got the short end of the stick all day long. He caught one that was probably, a foot long?
Hey.
The entire thing.
I think he did catch.
He caught more the fish. Biggest, now, Justin, you caught more fish than us.
I think he caught the biggest object of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that log you reeled up?
Yeah, the $30 dipsy diver.
But it had a dipsy diver hanging off the side of it, so we got that sucker.
It was so funny. There were so many people. I wish, Mac, wait till you watch. Justin, how many boats you think was down there on this river Saturday? If you had to take a wild guess.
Too many, says.
If I was going to take a wild guess, and that was just within, what'd we go, 5 miles up?
Yeah, about 5 miles.
So we traveled 5 miles from an undisclosed area that we put our boat in at up to another undisclosed area. And we probably seen 200 boats.
Yeah.
I'd say. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean.
Hey, and I'll tell you what's impressive. Not only did we boat 15 spoonbill, but we also caught about a 17-foot V bottom.
Yep.
I think was it two V bottoms? We caught
two V. The V bottoms were biting very good.
Yeah, we almost had one land in the middle of us too.
I mean, yeah,
we about caught one to the chin.
Yeah,
or they did.
We'll just keep it PG, but some people don't need to be driving boats, and I'll just leave it at that.
Especially when they just throw their hands in there and say, what do I do?
Yeah, hit the brake pedal, moron. Yeah.
That lady didn't have no business. She just took her hands off the wheel like, Jesus, take the wheel. Matt's like, they don't have brakes. You got to put it in reverse.
Or turn.
It'll be on the GoPro footage.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, honestly, it wasn't too bad. Nobody got too ignorant. It's just frustrating because
I kept my cool really good.
Matt was, I don't remember what the inside out, that's that that movie with the little people inside the girl's head and the little red guy that catches on fire. That's Matt. And he was real close to catching on fire, but he never did.
I don't know if you guys see me do it or not, but I think TJ or maybe Matt caught a fish. And I was backing up on the front of the boat, and I about went overboard. You'll see it on the camera footage where the camera goes up towards the air. Yeah.
It about got interesting, huh?
As long as you didn't drop the camera.
It would have been.
It would have been pretty interesting. It was a really good, we had a good time.
It was a good time. The weather was nice.
Beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful out there. It was probably 70 degrees.
You know, and the company wasn't bad either.
No. Well, me and Matt are stuck with each other regardless. So.
Right. But it was nice having you in a boat. That was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it kind of livened things up a little bit.
I really enjoy taking people that had never done it before.
Yeah, and we got to do that twice last week. We took we took some guys from Kyle Mankey's church, and those guys didn't get so lucky with the weather. It was terrible.
It was terrible. It was cold. It was windy. It was spitting rain. Like, it was as bad as it could be.
Well, and his dad had foot surgery or something and was wearing a boot and had no sock on his foot. So it took me and Matt probably an hour to find the fish. Well, maybe an hour and a half even. And a little bit of a boat ride.
About an hour.
We finally find the fish. We caught one fish, and we're like, all right, we're going to smoke him. And I look over, and this guy's just freezing to death. I mean, he's shaking. And Matt's back there running the rods at this time, and I'm driving the boat. Matt's like, yeah, man. He's like, I think we'll be able to catch limits. And I'm like.
Yeah, he's shaking his head no. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in him. Look at the graph.
And I was like, no, I don't think we're going to make it. And Matt's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, this. Over here, you know, I'm kind of pointing my head. I said, this guy looks like a popsicle. I was like, I think he's ready to go. And Mankey's like, well, what do you guys want to do? Do you want, oh, yeah, let's go back. That's good enough for me. I mean, it was no hesitation. And I'm like, okay, these guys are cool. But they caught a nice fish.
Yeah.
Stinks because they were stacked. I mean, when we did find them.
I'll be honest with you. It's pretty fun. It's a lot funner than grabbing suckers.
They're a little bigger. Just a hair
it's
bigger.
The surprise of what you're pulling up.
Right.
You know, when you're sucker grabbing, you can see them.
Right. Well, and you can't see, or you can't always tell with a paddlefish. Like, you hook a paddlefish in the tail, you'll swear to God it weighs 150 pounds because they're just wild.
Right.
And you get it up there, and it, you know, most of the time, if they're pretty wild and hard to reel in, they're a keeper fish. You can almost figure that. But sometimes you hook one and it's just like dragging along and just heavy and just drag. And that's usually your big ones.
It'll wear you out, for sure.
And I've had them drag all the way up to the boat. And then it's like when you get them up into that shallow water, like you're about to get them to break the surface, it's like, oh, I'm caught. And then they just scream line off. And it's like, oh, okay, now we're fighting the fish, you know.
Yeah, they're a ton of
8 foot of line out.
Ton of fun to catch. They're good to eat. I know there's a lot of people out there that they're like, oh, them things aren't gonna. They probably haven't never had them cooked, right? And that's the thing with, and people say that all the time. I get it. I mean, I understand. But with paddlefish, and it's really not the cooking it right part.
It's a process. You know, so like our fish that we caught Saturday, you know, you soak them in salt water. You change that water. You know, rinse them off. And you'll actually see the oil. There'll be an oil film on top of the water. And I change that water until that meat turns snow white. And I stop getting that oil film.
Yep.
And then, like, so my fish right now, today was the last day of water. Okay. And now I'm soaking them in a marinade.
And they'll be ready to cook.
Smoke.
So you went 4 days, let's say, with the water.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I went overnight.
So I usually,
which is good.
I put a bunch of salt in there with some water.
Even when I went back,
stuck them in the fridge. All the blood was up, you know, the bloody water. So I dumped it out and put some more in there. Well, it was 2 days, I guess.
Yeah.
Overnight again. Then I threw them on the smoker Sunday afternoon.
So
you've already ate some then, right, Justin?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
You know, it's not too bad. It's a little tougher than what I thought it'd be, but it may just been the process that we done it in, you know.
Or if you might have smoked it just a hair too long.
Yeah, right. And that too.
See, just, like, what I've learned with fish is you don't have to smoke it for a real, real long time, because if you do, it dries out a little bit and it kind of gets like jerky.
Right. I'd say anywhere from a solid 2.5 to 3 hours.
On about a 250-degree smoke.
Well, about two and a quarter.
But you know what?
225, yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to drop a little shell right here. Next week, we'll ask the guy that knows how to be a chef, Mr. Hunt Chef. He can tell us how to smoke it.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see if he's ever tried cooking spoonbill.
Yeah.
Be an interesting deal.
But for me, it's a 3 to 4 day. Typically 3 days is about the minimum I do.
And guys, you don't have to smoke them either. They're really good if you want to marinate them like with some Italian dressing.
I'll tell you what.
Put them on the grill.
If you want to.
Yeah, we're going to do something different with the other one.
I made that stuff that one time at your house where we put them in the oven with some like what's the Italian cheese? White stuff. Mozzarella and a little bit of cilantro on some rice and some chicken stuff. Man, you can do it.
I really like when we put it on my smoker, we put it in the aluminum foil, a little bit of butter.
Oh, man.
A little lemon juice.
And that really works, too, on garlic. Keeping them from getting dried out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's 100 different ways to do it. And you can eat it fried, guys. There's nothing wrong with cutting it up. Just make sure you cut it in smaller chunks. You know, you get the real big chunks, it's obviously going to be a little harder to eat because they're big. But you just they taste just a little better with just the smaller, kind of like a lot of people do their catfish that way,
mm-hmm.
and it's just better. So, my tip of the week on eating, I'll eat them anyway. I don't care.
Same here.
You know, me and Matt wouldn't be this passionate about catching them if we didn't like eating them, first of all, because that's the whole reason we started doing it.
Yeah, FYI, that's for dinner tomorrow. So
right, not to mention, it's one of the biggest fish you can catch in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, if not.
It probably really is the biggest. I mean, I know we have lake sturgeon in Missouri, but not enough of them.
I ain't never caught one.
Right.
It is the biggest fish lengthwise that I've ever caught. I don't know poundage-wise, but lengthwise.
Now, something cool, talking about poundage, is that an old boy caught over the weekend, and I'm pretty sure he caught it in Camden County.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tyler Brown was a conservation agent, they took it to Tom Slaughterhouse and had it scaled.
Right, so he did catch it in Camden County.
Yeah.
And the cool thing for me personally is Lake of the Ozarks holds the state record again.
Again. It was 140-pound, 10-ounce. He beat it by an ounce.
It was Table Rock. It was Lake of the Ozarks for years.
Right, and then the guy caught it at Table Rock, and it was 140 pounds and 9 ounces.
I didn't think they had them in Table Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the James Rivers
do.
Yeah.
Yep, James Rivers full of them.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't think they had very many.
Oh, yeah, they got them.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. Hampton, it's not quite as many boats down there as what you saw Saturday, but it's pretty similar.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. the people. And it was a lot of fun. Like, if somebody catch a fish, everybody'd hoop and holler. And it was, you know, we was hollering at the guys that hooked the log, you know.
Right.
I mean, it was just, most of the people were in pretty good spirit. Yeah, most of the people are in pretty good spirit.
Yeah, these old boys, they hooked this log and they brought it up. And I yelled over, that's got to be some kind of a record. You know, and they were, yeah.
It was a lot of, I mean, everybody was, got along. And now, I'm not going to say if you didn't spend enough time out there, somebody got a little hasty with other people, because you only get tangled up so many times before you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah.
I'll it was kind of like trout fishing opening day at Bennett Springs.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't do that either. So
it's a mess. As Ron Burgundy would say, it's a mess.
Jim Dane of Pittsfield, Illinois is who that was.
I'd like to try to get a hold of him somehow. So, if some miracle, anybody that knows him.
I mean, as long as his record holds, I guess.
I'm going to reach out because I'll go ahead and tell you.
That's big.
Pittsfield, Illinois is 20 miles from where I work.
Right.
I work with a lot of Illinois, so somebody might know him.
Just drive over there and
see. Yeah, just, you know, poke around town.
Yeah.
But
Try to bum a little meat off of him. He ought to have plenty.
He's already got it half eat, according to the conservation.
There ain't no way.
That's what he said.
Dead gum.
Boy, do you imagine the egg that old gal had in her?
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
So heavy, all right there.
Full.
Matt Miller loves spoonbill eggs, boys and girls.
Hey, did you try them too or no?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you liked them.
There was only one guy
You were too busy over there hacking up a lung trying to get them out of your mouth. I was eating them by spoonful.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There was only one guy in the group that didn't try them, and it rhymes with TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was out. I can't. Guys, I can't. I just.
You're supposed to.
I wish we had service. We would have went live and done that and made TJ try it,
no, yeah. That would have been.
So, here's the deal. I mean, the people that eat those, the people that eat those eggs, though, you take them home.
You brine them.
You rinse them with salt water.
They don't walk up there with the spoon and eat them out of the fish like you guys were doing.
Yeah, you just
we just ate them raw, people.
Hey,
so
when in Rome,
don't eat caviar eggs out of a fish. That's what you go find something else to do.
Or when it,
or when it Bridal Cave, you know what I'm saying? Just
right.
You got to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was. I can't do it. I don't know. I'd rather eat the meat raw than them eggs.
I don't know.
I feel like I'd be a tie, really.
You give me a cracker.
Put that on a cracker, dude.
Maybe a little bit of like...
mustard.
Tabasco. No, I hate mustard. You know that. Get out of here.
And then top it with a tomato.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you got to do right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you a mater spoonbill sandwich?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good.
With some mustard.
A little bit of mustard. Just a little mustard.
I don't like mustard. I don't like tomatoes.
So. I'll put some ketchup on it. I always heard ketchup makes everything taste better.
It might. I don't know. We just took a left turn on this.
Anyways.
We've been doing some snagging. I think we're up to 20 or 21 fish.
Something like that. We've caught a bunch.
You know. And we were getting kind of discarded and discouraged, but everybody I've talked to hasn't been catching them either. And the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Well, so here's the deal. We've been catching them.
Yeah, but
we've been catching a lot of short fish.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a first for us. You know, probably 2 to 3 years ago, we only caught that one year. We caught over 100 some odd fish,
right.
And we caught two shorts.
Right.
To kind of put things into perspective. And then we went out there with Hampton and we boated 15 fish and we had 6 keepers. Like, that was weird for us.
Right.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah, because we caught plenty of fish and we caught them fairly quick once we found them. It was just getting the
quality. Yeah, in our first trip we took out, we caught a short and we caught one keeper. And it's like, what is the deal?
Yeah.
You know, when you start taking celebrities on your boats, fish kind of cooperate.
Yeah.
It's what it is. Honestly, it's usually the other way around, so I was pretty happy to have what we had.
Yeah.
We got like 19 hours of footage for Matt to look through, so it's going to be
I would have been happy. I mean, you know, if we would have just caught 3 or 4, that'd been a good day.
Yeah, he's kidding, Matt. It's only 18 and a half.
No. You know.
And it's kind of like herding calves because we was all over the place.
Oh, man.
Oh, not me.
No,
you sat in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I was pretty much in one spot though.
The rest of us were trying to reel poles in, grab the camera, film this. Guys, you'll just have to watch it. It's like old Jimmy Primo said. He said, "This ain't Hollywood; it's the truth," and that's what it was. I mean, it.
Yeah.
But we had a good time. Caught some fish.
We did not have time to polish anything because we were on a 20-foot boat. With 3 people, so yep. There wasn't much room.
Well, and not to mention, you had to hurry up and get all your stuff up because the other 300 boats that are coming at you is going to get tangled up with it.
Right.
So as soon as you caught a fish, it was your mission to get the rest of your lines up and get out of the channel because that's where everybody was coming through. You had to get out the way and hope to God they don't run you over. So
Literally.
Like a fire alarm went off at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You know, and you had to try to film it, which we did, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting. Nobody fell in. Nobody
got hurt. I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to look on film. I'm really interested to see what Matt does with it.
Oh, it'll be
good. I expect big things.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. I probably Grammy award-winning show.
Oh, yeah, like the Pursuit Channel is going to call
it. What is that? What is it, the Moose, the Golden Moose Award?
The Golden Moose Award.
Write the check, boys. Write the check.
Hang it on the wall.
I'm already dusting off a spot on the mantle, you know what I'm saying?
I think if we'd had one extra battery, though, for the camera,
it'd have worked a little better. You'd be surprised how good our new GoPros film, though. Because, you know, I'd say three quarters of the way through the day, my DSLR camera died, and we filmed the rest of it with the GoPros, but it worked out. I think it.
But you guys will see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'll see it.
Good, bad, or indifferent. You'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to roll with
Matt's
it.
Matt's sitting over here saying,
make sure you leave a 5-star review on it. That's all we care about.
Well, we caught 15 fish. I know at least half of them was on the big camera.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think all three of us got one on the big camera.
I'd hope you caught like 5 on the big camera because you're hogging all the star space.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I tried to give you guys the pole.
You just kept on catching them little ones so you could just keep on.
Yeah. He was slow playing us until I was like, all right, now it's time to catch the hogs. Let's get after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which what honestly, you get for taking me to the kiddie pool.
I think the only fish that we didn't get on a big camera was the last one.
The tagged fish, which we got it on GoPro.
GoPros, but I mean like the big camera. I think that was the only one we didn't get. But which I called
that was the hardest one. Didn't we troll for like an hour for that one?
Oh, yeah, it always is.
Yeah.
The last one's always the hardest one. I don't know, especially when you just want to go home.
Well, it got later in the day. There's a gajillion boats out there. The fish were pretty scattered, so that's why it was a little tougher to get that last fish.
Yeah. Yeah, first thing in the morning is definitely your best shot. On
or middle of the night.
Right, which we're too old for that. So we're going to go with the first thing in the morning stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
I remember.
So you don't want to dock out about midnight?
No. We used to do that stuff. That's stupid. It was not.
Okay. You can't see the snakes that way, can you?
No, it was just not that good. We did it the first night we ever tried filming a snagging show, and the wind was blowing 150 miles an hour. Matt knows he tried to. It was bad. But, all right, guys. Well, word on the street is next week we're going to have the hunt chef on here, so maybe we'll talk with him about cooking these spoon wallies up and whatever else. I want to give a shout-out again to Mike with Hex. Guys, be sure to check that stuff out. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, get on there, enter that promo code, get you a suit coming.
Yep. But
we will put that promo code on the Ozark Traditions TV Facebook page too, so that way they can have it, and all of us will share it on our personal pages too, probably.
Something else, a little birdie I caught wind of, and I got to watch a little bit of it today, but Matt has been working on the Ozark Traditions TV web series, which I thought that was really cool, but it's going to be our videos going on YouTube. So tomorrow, hopefully, maybe tomorrow, Matt will have that up there. It's some pretty cool footage. We're going to just break this stuff down. Not real long videos, and we'll just keep, you know, however long apart they'll be. But just keep up with it, guys, because some of the hunts might be split in half. It just depends on how it goes. But the first one was pretty neat. You guys will just have to watch it. It's some turkey hunting me and Matt did, so it should be coming up. So be watching out for that, which we'll post everything on the Facebook page and all that as soon as it happens. So, but other than that, unless any of you guys got anything you want to add, I think we'll call her a night and go lick our wounds on Tyreek Hill leaving the Chiefs. I was not going to go through the whole podcast, not bring it up. We're all just a little brokenhearted. Well, any of us that watch football.
Yeah.
I bet the Dolphins are pretty happy.
They should be.
Are they, though? They give up a lot. I don't know. They got the fastest receiver in football.
Hey, they sold
Super Bowl next year.
They sold the farm for Magic Bean. I hope it works out for them.
Make sure. We'll see. But anyways, with that being said, from all of us here at Ozark Traditions TV, we appreciate you guys listening to the podcast, and we'll talk at you next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.